Welcome to Stepping Out of Babylon, produced by Sue Supriano. Babylon is everywhere. It's the isms and schisms both in the system and within ourselves. Let's unify, stand aligned, and step out of Babylon. Hi, everybody. My name's Sue Supriano, and my guest today is Bob Zimmerman. Bob Zimmerman is a strategic planner, political scientist, and economist here and living at this time here in the San Francisco Bay Area in California. His latest book is called The American Challenge, 21 Winning Strategies for the 21st Century. And at the top of the book, it says, democracy is not a spectator sport. It also says, banned at the Bush White House and peace on earth. A couple of other of Bob Zimmerman's books are Metacapitalism, Love Atlanta, and Strengthening and Futurity. Is that books out too,
Bob? Strengthening and Futurity is written, but it won't be out until 2004.
Okay. Well, in any case, we are going to concentrate right here and now on this book, The American Challenge, 21 Winning Strategies for the 21st Century. I've been reading it, and I must say you have clearly done a lot of research, Bob, because there's lots of facts and figures, and you write could hardly put it down, kind of. I really recommend the book. A lot of it, since I'm already an activist and been involved in this stuff for a long time, is stuff that I know, but still I love the way that it's so well organized and amusing and really punchy. You put it out there, and you have a lot of facts and figures about about both the problems and the solutions. So what I would like to do in this interview is to kind of go over the problems as quickly as possible and get to the solutions, because, boy, do we need some solutions.
Well, great. That was all very kind of you. And I wrote the book because every time I saw the face of the person they call our president, I got more and more disgusted and thought that I had to do whatever I could to try to end this awful, awful regime.
Yeah, well, and as you yourself point out, it's not just this person in power, it's a whole system, not just this president select, as some of us call him, since he didn't even fairly and honestly win the election. And you talk a lot about the various systems of economic globalization and the problems. So I'm sure that most people know something about that from their own personal lives. But maybe you want to just cover them quickly here. I'm looking at the the first chapter is The Brutal Nature of the World.
The world is a difficult place, and it had been easier for Americans than most other peoples until recently. And now Americans are beginning to experience what others have experienced for so long. Fear of being attacked, fear of being unemployed, fear of retiring without an income, fear of losing their health care, fear of losing their civil liberties, fear of everything. And much of this fear isn't even real. It need not be. It's stuff that the Bush regime is doing, intentionally doing, to control the people. It was Hermann Göring, one of the Nazi master planners, that said, if you really want to control the people, all you have to do is tell them they're being attacked, 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 and they will knuckle under. And that's what this regime has been doing. Isn't it interesting that every time that Bush drops a few points in the poll, we get another terrorist alert, mm-hmm. time after time after time? And the fact of the matter is that the terrorists are in the White House.
Well, as you know, I certainly do agree with that, and I think it's very important for people to get that. I personally think that some people in the United States were very involved in 9/11, but that's me saying that. That's not you. I'll take responsibility for it, but I'd certainly like people to look at all the unanswered questions and the benefits to the government. actually, of this creating this fear all the time, I think. And it's a hard one not to get into. It's very hard. And as you talk about in your book, Bob Zimmerman, are suffering in a lot of different ways, with lack of health care and the environmental devastation and we're talking here right after just this big blackout in New York, and not only New York, but all the way through the Midwest.
And think about our troops as well. We've got about 140,000 troops in Iraq in crushing, brutal heat, being attacked by resisting forces there increasingly every day. And these people are at their wits' end and want to come home. Now, if we were really going to be patriotic, what we should do is bring our troops home. They have no business over there.
Especially because they're also exposed to depleted uranium and highly likely to have cancer when they come back, if they are not already getting this other disease, which I hear people are dying of in several days in hospitals in Germany. So we're painting a pretty glum picture here. I don't know when we're going to stop and get on to the solutions. What do you think? Is there any more you want to talk about the issues here before we get into some solutions, Bob Zimmerman?
Well, I'm hopeful that we have only about 15 months left of this, what I call treasonous Bush regime. I don't think there's a prayer in hell that these people are going to be reelected, even if they try to steal it again. If they try that, the American people will rise up. I mean, they've had enough. Increasingly, the polls are showing that the people are awakening from their long slumber. A recent poll showed that 94% of the American people now think Iraq has evolved into a quagmire, a Vietnam-type situation. And Bush's popularity has slipped from a high of about 82% immediately after the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan to now less than 50%. More people want a new president, and they're going to get it.
Well, as you point out in your book, we were talking about this before we started the interview here, a lot of these issues are, even though there's real people with names and addresses carrying out the policies and the secret stuff that goes on, and we know there's many layers of secrecy that we just begin, since they're secret, we barely, you know, begin to know about them, but there are many layers. But it is also systemic and larger than just who's the president.
Yeah, in fact, take 9/11. What would happen if a smoking gun was revealed that showed the complicity of the Bush regime in the actual planning and execution of 9/11? As far as I know, there is no such smoking gun as yet, but there are people of good conscience all over the world working on this. And who knows what will develop. I sure hope for their sakes that nothing develops.
For whose sake?
For Bush's sake, because the same International Criminal Court that they don't want to join will haul him in front of it if it turns out that he's complicit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, like I say, he's one person, and we have all these dynamics and of the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. And your book, Bob Zimmerman, The American Challenge, has a lot of really amazing statistics about that sort of thing. As I say, I knew most of it, but you really have it down here. So I recommend for people to get this book. So let's just get on to the solutions, because we just don't hear enough of those. And you have 21 winning strategies for meeting the challenges of the 21st century. So the first one is replacing the federal income tax.
Here's one that isn't very controversial. People on both sides of the aisle have for years thought that the federal income tax is a disaster. It costs about $600 billion a year just to collect the taxes, and they collect only about 50 cents on the dollar. Corporations and individuals, when Eisenhower was president back in 1950, each paid about 50%, so they shared the burden. Now, after the Reagan-Bush regimes, corporations are now paying about 15%, while individuals are paying 85%. Everybody agrees that the system is unfair, inefficient, ineffective, and produces great stress in society. And it's pretty easy to fix, but not incrementally. What we've got to do is throw out the entire income tax system, and along with it, the collection of Social Security taxes. We can then replace it with a 5% consumption tax, excluding health care and education, with rebates for low-income people, and two other taxes. One, a progressive tax on excess wealth, and two, a 10% tax on gross corporate receipts for corporations doing more than $10 million a year in annual sales. Thus, nobody would be paying income taxes anymore. Nobody would be paying Social Security taxes anymore. We'd be collecting far more money where we should be collecting it, from the wealthy and from the giant corporations. And we'd have plenty for national health care and plenty to double Social Security payments now.
When in fact the reality is people may not be getting Social Security payments, and right now the poor are paying a huge amount more than the rich in percentage. Although these things started out, I have the impression, maybe I'm being naive about this, being more with the idea of fairness. And there is this dynamic that over time things seem to get corrupt in a lot of systems, not only this one.
That's true. That's because you have the people, the special interest groups lobbying the politicians for special tax preferences, such that the wealthy people and the giant corporations in this nation pay hardly anything. With the tax system that I just outlined in brief, they would start to pay their fair share, and we could finally take the tax burden off of the back of labor and put it where it belongs, on the backs of the people that use most of the resources in this country. And tell me, if there were a 10% tax a year on people with $1 billion in net assets, so instead of having $1 billion, they'd have $900 million. Do you think they'd really be suffering?
Right. Well, and they'd have to start being honest about how much they're making. I mean, at the beginning, it's so dishonest. But not to put down your ideas, because we need to have vision and something to work for sure. Shall we go on to strategy number two, modernizing the healthcare industry, universal access guaranteed?
Yeah, right now, as everyone knows, we've got somewhere between 42 million and 50 million Americans that don't have access to necessary health care. This is a disaster. I mean, this is a monstrosity. We're the only major industrialized nation that doesn't provide health care for our people. We should do it immediately. Once upon a time, when I first wrote Metacapitalism in 1985, I was for a single-payer system. I don't have objections to a single-payer system, but I think there's a better way to guarantee it now and make it faster. We have to deal with political realities, and putting through a single-payer system is extraordinarily difficult. I think the first priority has to be to get everybody guaranteed health care, and we can do that by putting people who are now uninsured into existing plans, the federal plan, the VA plan, and some other plans. And then we can move incrementally. We can have each of the states develop its own single-payer system. So we could have 50 single-payer systems, each in competition with the other to get the job done better. And I think this is better than having just the federal government as a monolith dictating healthcare procedures. And we have to keep in mind here that each state has a different demographic healthcare situation. The healthcare needs of residents of Vermont are very different than the healthcare needs of residents of Florida or Utah. And the systems set up in those states were set up to manage those healthcare needs. And we should take advantage of the benefits and the good things in each state, work on those, develop those, migrate them from state to state, and try to eliminate the bad things in each state. And in doing so, competitively, with the help of the federal government, which is now the largest single healthcare payer anyway, I think we can do a much better job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's interesting. I know that you talk about Democrat. Oh, sorry, you want to say something?
One more point. Right now, I think it was Senator Kennedy that said 40 cents out of every healthcare dollar is spent on paperwork. That's a full 40%. And there's no need for that. In Canada, I think it's less than 5%. We could easily be saving $1 trillion in healthcare costs a year just by modernizing and moving away from this enormous paperwork burden. And, of course, there are lots of other things we can do as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, talking about health, I wanted to say something a little earlier, Bob Zimmerman. Neither of us is young, and I know that when I first moved to California 40 years ago, and then I studied public health, too, I studied public health in the late 60s. The United States had the best schools, and I'll speak, California had the best schools, and this country had the lowest infant mortality rate, which is always a basic measurement of quality of life. And now, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other statistics, but now all those things that it was the best in of all the industrialized countries 40 years ago, it is now the worst in. And a lot of people don't even understand that, in fact. So I just wanted to put in my two cents about that. And the other thing I wanted to mention about how fast things can change.
Sue, that's a very interesting comment you made about schools. I just want to take a crack at that from another perspective. A lot of people are very critical of our education systems, and surely there's plenty to be critical of. But if you look at it from another way, that schools ought to be student-driven. And in many cases, it's our students that are letting the schools down. I mean, let's face facts. Dumbing down is caught up in America. Our culture has been so dumbed down by various things that are omnipresent in our culture. For one, the media, and that students aren't what they used to be, and not only aren't they studying as they should, but they're not voting.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's a whole different world, and we could any of these things we could talk about for the longest time. I am interested, Bob Zimmerman, that you seem to have confidence in democracy. And not only democracy, in capitalism, let me say, in capitalism you have confidence, and you talk about democratic capitalism. And I just wanted to be sure to ask you, what gives you that confidence? To me, capitalism is, not that I have any better ideas that are going to actually happen, but capitalism is based on exploitation. You can't have profit without exploitation.
Well, this is true, but the thing about capitalism that I like is small capitalism, not giant capitalism. I like small businesses, small entrepreneurs competing. I'd rather have 1,000 auto companies than 3 auto companies. I'd rather have 100,000 hamburger outlets than a McDonald's or a Burger King owned by Ma and Pa, and have all of the variation. I'd rather see lots of small towns and villages rather than Walmarts and these giant malls. It's very difficult for small business owners to exploit in the way that I think you mean it, because they have competition, whereas the giant corporations don't. Giant corporations are not capitalism, basically. What they are something else. They function much like governments.
Fascism, maybe.
You said it, and I'll agree with you.
Fascism is the combination of the government and the corporations, which it seems to me like we have. Well, that takes us right to strategy number 3, managing the processes of economic globalization, a long-term alternative to empire building.
Yeah, United States has just gone off on the wrong course. There has never been an empire in all of history that has ever succeeded. And the people, the neocons, the Bush neocons that are in power now, they've actually written it down. What they want to do is dominate the world. They want to dominate the world culturally, economically, and militarily. And that will never work. Right now, we are on a course of exporting all of our jobs overseas. Why are we exporting our jobs overseas? So that we can lower wage rates. It would seem that the Bush regime won't be happy until the average hourly wage in America drops to 2 cents. It doesn't seem right that so many of our men and women work so hard to create, construct, and defend our nation, only to have people like Bush exporting our jobs overseas to the lowest wage markets. Why should our labor float as if it were a currency on the open market? This is a hideous process. Mm-hmm. We should be taking care of the people that created our nation and are still defending our nation instead of thinking about more and more profits for giant corporations, which never works anyway. I mean, these giant corporations always fail.
Now, that was something that you said in your book, which I never thought of quite like that.
And when the giant corporations fail, it's like a dinosaur falling. I mean, the shock waves. Take Enron. I mean, here it was. It was a giant corporation. Take WorldCom. Take Chrysler. Chrysler was failed several times, and now is part of a German manufacturing corporation. There is a myth in economics that big is better, that there are advantages to increasing the size of your manufacturing. Well, it's a myth. It came out of Adam Smith, and it should have died with Adam Smith. Small is far more efficient, always, than large.
I was just reading an email today for somebody who very knowledgeable, high up in some hierarchy person about there's not going to be more growth, period, because of the issues of energy. So just to add in my other 2 cents, and we better speed it up here through because we have about 18 more positive alternatives here. But we can put some of them together, I'm sure, like mobilizing working people for action. Well, obviously, well, you just for obvious reasons.
This is why one of the reasons why I'm very hopeful that the Bush regime will be a one-term regime. In the Bay Area alone, there are over 2,500 progressive organizations. In the United States, there are over 3,000 peace organizations. There are thousands of environmental organizations. Now, most of these people weren't for Bush in the first place, but now they all detest him. There are more people working against Bush now. And remember, he didn't win the last election. He lost by 540,000 votes. This time, let's make sure he loses by 20 million votes.
And let's make sure, I will add, that he's not replaced by somebody else from the same cabal, because it's not just Bush. Of course, every time people say Bush, and sometimes people explain explicitly when they say Bush, they're not just talking about this one person. Okay, well, now we don't have too much time left. We've got environmental justice. Well, we know that about the policies of the government.
Yeah, well, we have a regime, the Bush regime, that is waging multiple wars, not only on foreign nations, but on American working people, on retirees, on the disadvantaged, and particularly on the environment. They have tried to revoke every single important piece of environmental legislation that's been enacted over the last 50 years. Why would anybody in their right mind try to revoke the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts? It just doesn't make any sense. Even neocons breathe air and drink water. Well, probably they drink filtered water, and maybe they wear oxygen masks. Who knows?
I want to bring up this strategy number 6, turning down the volume of violence in America, because just very recently, I think in the last week, I said something about the United States being the most violent country in the world, and whoever I was saying it to was totally shocked. And you say that same thing, and you back it up with lots of statistics.
Yeah, unfortunately, violence in America is omnipresent, and we really ought to be working hard on that. Here in California, what do we have running in a recall race but Arnold Schwarzenegger? And take this guy. Now, he adopts a holier-than-thou attitude, and yet he possibly, as an individual, is responsible for more violence than any other private individual in the world. How many images of death and destruction are there in Terminator 1, 2, and 3? How many kids had their lives and families had their lives ruined from motion pictures like Terminator 1, 2, and 3? And now he has the gall to stand up and act holier than thou and say, I'm for the children.
Good point. Oh, you got the giant tobacco and genocide are synonymous. Crushing one prevents the other. Genocide, that's a big word.
Well, genocide, what is genocide? Genocide is taking a group of people in a nation and systematically killing them off. Well, that's what the tobacco companies did. So you say, well, no, they went to all of the people. No, they didn't. They went to the people that consume cigarettes. That's a group of people. And not only did they go to them, they went to them with lies. They said, cigarettes aren't addicting. Cigarettes won't kill you. When all the time they knew that cigarettes were addicting, and that they killed you. Now they admit it, and they're still walking the streets. They've murdered millions, tens of millions of people, and they're still walking the streets while we have people serving life terms in prison for stealing videotapes.
Right. And they target certain people, the same kind of people. They're not the same kind of people, but the same color, because it's a racist targeted at people of color, actually.
Yeah. The Republican Party has been a transformation of the Ku Klux Klan. Let's face it. Trent Lott was the Senate Majority Leader. He spoke for the Republican Party for years and years and years. And before him, there were others, Strom Thurmond. These people are active members of the KKK, though you'll never get the evidence other than by what they do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're going to have to stop soon, so we're definitely going to try to end it on one of these positive, if not all. What would you like to say in the short time remaining, Bob Zimmerman, author of The American Challenge, 21 Winning Strategies for the 21st Century?
For the next 15 months, the real American challenge is getting rid of the Bush regime, and all of you can help. We have to recognize that no work is more important than that work, and we can't let them divide us on the issues, and we must put forth a bold, bold program so that the electorate has something firm, something solid, something that they're interested in. People who are active have to be double their activities. We've got to go out and register 22 million new voters. I think that the people who haven't been voting are truly Democrats at heart. I think the Republicans have gotten every last one of their votes. And even the Republicans are starting to drift away. People can't stand the atrocities, bombing people, innocent women and children from 30,000 feet and calling it heroic. This is not heroic, and it's not Christian. We say we're a Christian nation. We should start acting like one.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Bob Zimmerman, and I want to urge people to wake up and question and, use your critical minds and read between the lines, look between the lines in the corporate media. We're glad to have this show on the air. And again, the American Challenge, 21 Winning Strategies for the 20th Century, and Bob Zimmerman, the author of that book, has been my guest. Get the book. My name's Sue Supriano. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Sue.
To order a copy of the program you just heard, write down the following information. The email is sue@suesupriano.com. That's Sue, S-U-E, at Sue Supriano, SUESUPRIANO.com. Or the telephone is 510-883-1979. That's 510-883-1979.